Hello everyone, welcome to Hometown Horrors. I'm Leanne, your host and creator. Today's episode is a bonus episode on Summer Wells, the little five-year-old girl who has been missing from Hawkins County, Tennessee for about 5 months now. We're going to dig in to a little bit of background, some information that has come out that wasn't available at the beginning. My very first podcast episode was about Summer. It was really short because she had just went missing and there wasn't a lot to go on. There still isn't a whole lot to go on, but we do have a few things that have been updated and stuff. So we're going to go into that. There is an active Amber Alert out for Summer, and I will give the number to contact if you have any information about her. To start off, a few little things to cover. If you would like to join Patreon, the link will be in the show notes. If you would like to donate through listener support, that is also linked in the episode. If you would like to do a one-time donation through Venmo, that will be also in the show notes. You can follow me on Instagram at Hometown Horrors or Twitter at Hometown Horrors TN. If you have a case submission, or you have any questions, or you just want to say hi, you can do that by going to hometownhorrorstn@gmail.com. If you hear some noises in the background, today is my dog's birthday and he has some new toys and he's kind of playing, so he's being loud. So don't think anything about it. He's just being kind of crazy. I think that's all the housekeeping stuff. But this is a bonus episode. Just some things have kind of come to light. Summer's parents went on Dr. Phil and that opened a whole thing. So I'm going to go over what I have found. I have researched a lot. I do not go off rumors on any of my cases. There's a lot of Reddit stuff, a lot of things floating around on social media. I try to keep all that out and everything that I put into my cases. I make sure they have evidence and they are backed up. I try not to give my opinion very often because that can get you in trouble legally, but I will kind of tell you my theory on what's going on here and definitely let it be known that it is my theory. There is no evidence to this, so we'll get to that at the end. Let's get started. Summer Wells has been missing from the Beach Creek community in Hawkins County, Tennessee, since June the 15th, 2021. According to her father, Summer was planting flowers with her mother and grandmother when she decided she wanted to go back inside the house and play with her toys. There's an active Amber Alert out for Summer. More than a dozen agencies were involved in the search, and this included specialized units from several different states and dive teams. Officials have suspended that active search, but they will do a search based on any credible information they receive. They have come out several times and said that they are having trouble getting credible information, that they're getting tips and things like that, but it's a lot of rumors and stuff that's floating around on social media. So they're having a hard time figuring that stuff out. But they will. If they have a credible tip, they will go out and search it. Summer, like I said, has been missing for 5 months. She's 5 years old. In the last 5 months, there have been no new developments. Investigators have stated that everyone involved is considered a person of interest. There have been lots of rumors on social media, speculation, and a Dr. Phil interview that we will get to in a few minutes. Law enforcement officials stated they are being tight-lipped about parts of the investigation to preserve the integrity. Some of the details are not being released. These include the exact timeline of Summer's disappearance. I was glad when I came across that because that seems to be everybody's question. All the investigative journalists, anyone that's looking into this case, even Dr. Phil said that the timeline just does not add up. So I'm assuming the police and the investigators know more about that timeline than we do. Investigators have viewed all available surveillance videos near the Wells home, but because it is in such a rural area, there isn't much to go on. They live kind of on a mountain. Houses are far and few between, so I don't know how many video cameras are around that area, so it was hard for them to get any surveillance video. Dawn Wells, Summer's father, firmly believes that Summer was abducted. According to Hawkins County Sheriff Ronnie Lawson, the FBI requested the assistance of the Child Abduction Rapid Deployment Team during the search for Summer. This team investigated everything thoroughly and found absolutely no signs of abduction. Sex offenders in the area have all been interviewed, and they have followed up on vehicles that were in the area that day. Investigators are still looking for a 1998 to 2000 maroon or red Toyota Tacoma with a full bed ladder and white buckets in the truck bed. A witness who is regularly in the area for work spotted this truck in the area at the time of Summer's disappearance. According to Dawn Wells, the search dogs followed Summer's scent down the ravine and to the road. There's a ravine beside their house, and he said that the search dogs followed it, her scent, down that ravine into the road. That's the information from him. I've not heard that confirmed by investigators or anything. Like I said, that came from him. Dawn and Candace, Summer's mom, have both passed polygraph tests, but as most of you know, those are admissible in court, so... And, you know, some people can pass those with no problem. Both parents also have previous criminal records. Dawn has served prison time for convictions involving drugs and burglaries in Arkansas, Utah, and Texas. He also has numerous parole violations, and he was recently charged with a DUI. Like 2-3 weeks ago. That's that recent. Candace also has a criminal record. It's in Wisconsin. She had a guilty plea on a misdemeanor domestic abuse charge. Summer's brothers have been removed from the home by DCS, which is the Department of Child Services. I know they go by different things in different states. There are not any details about why they were removed. Dawn Wells will tell you that it was for safety reasons because they were getting threats on social media. I don't know if there's any truth behind that. But about 3 weeks ago, maybe, they put a gag order on the case involving the boys about why they were removed by DCS. So no one's allowed to talk about it. So in 2009, Summer's aunt, which is Candace's sister, went missing. We don't know if this has anything, if it's related or anything like that, but I do like to talk about this, just a little bit of background information. The missing aunt, her name was Rosemary Bly. She has been a missing person, cold case, since 2009. Rose was last seen in St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin on August the 21st, 2009. According to the Charlie Project, Rose left her home that night to meet her cousin at a bar about 5 miles away. Rose told her husband that she would be back before midnight, but she never made it to meet her cousin. Rose's car was found 5 days later in a parking lot used by truckers. It's where they used to... They use that parking lot to park their tractor trailers. This came from a report from the FBI. Rose and her husband had a troubled relationship. 3 weeks after her disappearance, her husband filed for divorce and sought a court order to prevent her from returning and taking their two children. Prior to her disappearance, police had made at least one house call to their house for a domestic dispute. During the police visit, excuse me, Her husband accused her of slapping him, and she accused him of putting her in a headlock and banging her head on the ground. Candace and Rose's mother speculated that Rose became disoriented and wandered away from her vehicle due to an injury she sustained a week prior. But there's no evidence to support this theory. This just came from the family. Rosemarie was never found, and the case remains unsolved. Let's get back to Summer. On the day that Summer went missing, a neighbor and her two kids heard a scream shortly before they joined the search for Summer. The neighbor said she was out working on survey lines. There's like a property dispute or something. She was out there working on those survey lines when she saw a flash of a car going up Candace and Dawn's driveway. She then heard the sound of a car door slamming. Then she heard the scream. The neighbor described the scream as shrill and not an animal. She did not hear anything after that, so her kids went to play and she went to work on her flowers. She then heard people yelling for Summer. The neighbor went to search one side of the creek nearby while Summer's brothers checked the other side. She reported the scream she heard to the police. The sheriff did come out and say that he does not believe that the scream is related to Summer's disappearance. The Wells property, it's not one that you would just happen upon. It's off like the beaten path with only one way in and one way out, and that's a circular drive. You can look online and see pictures of this driveway and their property, and there's just not a really, I mean, if you're not looking for it, you're not going to end up there. The property is surrounded by woods in a ravine. Inside the house, the only access to Summer's room, which she shared with her parents, is through a crawl space under an island in the kitchen. You walk into the kitchen and there's like an island, and there's this little space that if you're an adult, or if you're even like a really tall, like a teenager, you have to hunker down and crawl down these steps to get to the basement where Summer's room was. I've seen this footage. I seen it first on Dr. Phil, and then when I was looking and doing research, I seen it on several other sites. It was a podcaster, I believe, that first got the footage, and this is the only footage that has been allowed to be taken at their home. After this first initial footage was taken, nobody has been allowed back in their home. But apparently that's the only way you can get down to that basement where she slept. She slept on a mattress on the floor in that basement. There is a door on the outside that she could have went out. One theory is that somebody may have been waiting outside that door for her. I'm not sure. Someone would have to know where this was, and they would have to open the small door and squat down and almost crawl to get down those steps. And you're going through the main space of the house. So according to Candace, her boys were upstairs watching TV. Anybody that comes in there, they would have heard or seen, I would think. If Summer had yelled, Candace says that the boys would have heard her, but they apparently were playing video games or something, and I don't know if they would have heard her or not. Okay, so now the Dr. Phil interview. I am not a big fan of Dr. Phil. I don't like the way he runs his show. I got a whole list of things I don't really care about for Dr. Phil. But I wanted to see his take on the parents, and I wanted to see what they were going to say, because that was the very first national interview that they did. So according to Dawn, Candace did not want to do the Dr. Phil interview. During that interview, there were two body language experts there. So them and Dr. Phil said that they do not believe that Dawn or Candace killed Summer or hid her body, but they feel like Candace is hiding something. And this is because every time they answer, or every time they ask Candace a question, she took a really long time to answer it, or her answer was usually, I don't know. Or it was just an odd, she always had odd response to questions. As a mother, I don't understand the way she acted on the Dr. Phil show, because she just did not seem interested at all in what they were asking or what they were saying. She didn't want to engage with them. There's just a lot of different things that it was very off-putting about the way she handled that interview. Candace did not really show any emotion during the interview until one of the body language experts asked her about something called the Cornbread Mafia. I had never heard about this. I know a lot of things that go on around here, but that's one I've never heard of. It's apparently a organized crime syndicate, kind of like a mob, in the South. Apparently in the 80s and 90s, it was really big in Kentucky. They deal with pot, guns, things like that. To look like when you go digging around on it, they don't seem to be that active right now, but that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean that they're not. In those hills and mountains up there, they could be active and you would never know. But at the mention of the Cornbread Mafia, Candace absolutely lost it. She began crying, which has been the first time during the entire interview. She yanks her microphone off and she leaves. Later, when they spoke again, they asked Candace why she reacted that way. And she stated she didn't know, but they sounded horrible. And she started to kind of react again, too. The body language experts were talking about, you know, the way her mouth was moving and the way her eyes downshifted and stuff like that when they mentioned the Cornbread Mafia again. Dr. Phil stated her reaction could have been guilt, fear, or both. When they asked Dawn about the Cornbread Mafia, he said he believes his family is the target of criminals and he has had some tools stolen. Dr. Phil also pointed out that he didn't believe Candace was as vigilant as she claimed in making sure that Summer made it inside and that she was taken in the short time of about 2 minutes. The timeline and evidence do not support this. That is one thing Candace has been very adamant about, is that this happened so fast. She walked Summer in the house and she was gone within 2 minutes. It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up when the timeline that we know. I don't know about the timeline that law enforcement has, but considering the state of how she acted, the state of their house, it just looked neglected. It's really hard to believe that she took Summer by the hand, walked her into the house, made sure she was safely in the house, and then somebody snuck up, got her, and she was gone within 2 minutes. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's kind of hard to believe. Dawn did another interview, and this was with News Nation Now. It was pretty much some of the same thing that was said on Dr. Phil and all the local interviews that he's done. He described Candace as a good mother, but he did say something different that he had never said before. And that was that Candace, her biggest mistake is having the wrong friends. Again, this has never been said before. This was said for the first time on the News Nation Now interview. And the sheriff came out and said, yeah, he's never heard this before either. So this just recently happened. This was, I think, it was the end of last week, maybe. It was just done not even a week ago. So I don't know if something's going to come out of that or not. That's about it as far as like them talking in their interviews. I wanted to give you a little bit of background on Hawkins County, which is where Summer went missing from. I don't know a lot about Hawkins County, where I live maybe an hour from there. I know that it's somewhere that you don't want to mess around with. My dad was an avid hunter. He went hunting all over the state of Tennessee, but he would not step foot in Hawkins County to go hunting, which kind of told me something, that you just stay out of there. But here's some information that I found. Hawkins County is small. I found out the population is about 57,000. Very what we call country. There's a lot of woods and, you know, things like that. It's not got a city atmosphere at all. It currently has 6 cold cases that include missing and unsolved cases, which is, you know, that's a pretty good size number considering how small the place is. Drugs are a big problem in that area because it's one of the tri-cities. So, you've got Tennessee, and you can easily get into Virginia, and it's real easy to access other places. So they run drugs through there a lot. The main one, which is the main one in Tennessee, it's meth and pills. And now the problem is pills that are laced with fentanyl. They just had several big busts up there about pills laced with fentanyl. So when I was looking into the Cornbread Mafia, I found mention of something called the Chicken Head Mafia. I swear these names. That seems to be a pretty big threat in that area. Some of the members were sent to prison in 2017 for selling guns and drugs. They're connected to a local motorcycle gang. I don't want to really mention their name because I don't know how vigilant they are about stuff like that. But they are one of the high-ranking members, was also a high-ranking member of the Chicken Head Mafia, and they went to prison for selling guns and drugs. It's also mentioned that the Vice Lords have a big presence in that area. Vice Lords is a major problem in the whole state of Tennessee. Hawkins County has a very high crime rate, which that doesn't surprise me considering the number of drugs and guns that are going through there. I don't think, this is just my opinion, I don't think there's a lot of named gangs in that area. I think it's a lot of, because that area is like 98% white. So I think you've got a lot of the little good old boy groups that you see in the South. They kind of cluster together. They run their drugs and their guns, and they don't really advertise the name of their little groups, but they're trouble and they're violent. And I think they're the main threat, especially in an area like Hawkins County, because it's poor up there. There's not a lot of chances for employment. You have to drive quite a ways if you want like a really good paying job. Education, not their number one priority. It's not the number one priority in all of Tennessee, but it's just a never-ending cycle with them. You know, they probably started years ago with their great-grandparents making moonshine, and it developed into drugs because that's what sold better. So I don't think you have like the big organized gangs. I think you're going to have these clusters of good old boy gangs that sell pills, sell guns, and it's just violent. And it's a big problem. That's mostly what we see around here. According to a report from the FBI in 2018, every major gang operates in the Tri-City area, but Johnson City is included in that, and that's a huge, it's a college town, huge area, so I think that's going to be more your vice lords and stuff like that. But that that whole area, like Tennessee, that we all have a problem with prescription drugs, and meth is a huge problem. Heroin has become a major problem too, which is just strange that that's made a comeback. But I'm going to stick by my theory that it's a lot of good old boy gangs, that guns are big, and you've got meth, and you've got pills, because there's still drug mills and stuff around here, and pills are fairly easy for them to get a hold of. So I'm going to go over my theory. This is my theory, my opinion. Don't come at me legally or anything like that. This is just kind of what I'm thinking. Considering the parents' criminal history, the area that they live in, and Candace's reaction to the questions about the Cornbread Mafia and things like that, I think, in my opinion, that one or both of those parents owed a debt to some bad people, whether it be Cornbread Mafia, whether it be, you know, Billy Bob down the street that has a little gang of 15 people, whatever. I think that they either made somebody mad, they owed somebody something, somebody either took her, or she was payment of some kind. I hope so bad that's not what that is. This case has upset me so much, and I really truly hope that is not what has happened to her. Trafficking is also a bad, bad problem here. We've got drug trafficking, child trafficking, sex trafficking. It's all really bad, and because it is in the Tri-City area, there's a lot of ways to get away. I hope that I'm wrong, but I feel like, I don't think they did anything to her. I do agree with Dr. Phil on that. I don't think they hurt her. I think that somebody, it's retaliation, or they handed her over because they owed a huge debt. I hope, and I just hope with all my might, that that is not the case. But I can't think of any other thing. The FBI came in. There's no signs of abduction. The area where they're at, somebody just wouldn't drive up and grab her. Stranger abduction. You know, those are very rare, stranger abductions are. So I think it was definitely somebody they knew. Whatever the reason may be. And I hope with all my heart that they find her. And I hope that she is not suffering. And I feel so bad for that poor baby. And I hope her parents come out and say what they know, because I feel like they are hiding something. So I wish they would come out in full disclosure and somebody could find Summer. Well, that's all I have for this bonus episode. I will be back soon, and I hope you all have a safe day.